Good morning, blessed Easter to you all, and let us praise God, gather together and sing praises to him by turning to hymnal number 269, Thine is the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Let's stand, 269.
Welcome each one of you to this morning's celebration of Easter. As a church, we have walked through the 6 weeks of Lent, and this past week on Thursday, we gathered to share a meal and communion together, and we were reminded again through scripture and songs of the events all leading up to Jesus' death. On Good Friday, we gathered and we were reminded of the events of the Holy Week, again with scripture and song. What a contrast today from the last 6 weeks, and especially from Good Friday. We've had a lot of sparseness in the sanctuary during this time, and last Sunday, with the palm branches waving, announcing that Jesus is coming, we sensed that things were changing. On Good Friday, we saw the empty cross that was here at the front, and the mood was kind of somber. We were more contemplative. But today, I see brighter colors on all of you. All of this color and growth, and so much that symbolizes new life and renewal and hope. I'm going to invite you to turn to the front of your bulletin, right here. Now, if you hold it up like this in front of you, I'm holding it in front of me. Oh, mine was upside down. And look at the front here. What's pictured out here? Through color, we've tried to symbolize all of this fullness. Our theme for today is fully alive in Christ. Today is Easter Sunday, a day of celebration. And it's kind of appropriate that Easter is in spring, a time of change, of new growth. My prayer is that each of us may experience new beginnings this Easter, new ways of understanding each other, new ways of being tolerant of our differences, gaining new ways to show love and kindness to all we come in contact with, and see each new day as an opportunity to practice the path that Jesus taught. Christ is risen. Please join me in the call to worship as it is printed, and this is from Psalms 118, verses 21 to 24. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia!
We thank you, God, that you have answered us and have become our salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we gather in this way here this morning to be the church. We come celebrating Easter and the message of hope this season brings. God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that are all around us, for sun and the warmth of spring, and for all that we anticipate coming to life. There is so much more that is eagerly waiting. We praise you for wisdom with which you care for each of us. You know us each by name and want nothing but expansive growth for each of us. Continue to have patience with us as we grow into a fuller understanding of your love and our own capacity to love on this Easter day. In your name together we pray. Amen.
Let us sing together again from the hymnal 278, Christ is alive, let Christians sing. That's all of us. Let us sing together 278. Let's stand, please.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing.
Good morning. I'm reading from the International Version, John chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who loved Jesus, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of the linen lying there, but did not know to go in. Then Simon Peter, who had behind them arrived, went out into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the first tomb also went inside. He saw the sand. He saw and believed. They still don't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Thus far, the reading of the Lord.
Usually I say at this point, let's pray together. And that is what we are going to do, but in a different fashion. We are literally going to pray together. If you take this hymn book, the purple bound one, and turn to number 179. Let's read this together prayerfully. O living God, who raised Jesus from the dead, we shout your great victory. We sing hymns of praise.
Even when our hearts are heavy and our eyes are dim with sorrow, you are faithful. You wipe away all tears and bring joy in the morning.
Teach us, O God, to trust your gracious love, to rest in your unfailing goodness, to hope in your true promise, that we may rejoice all our days and share the good news. Death is defeated. All are made alive in you. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia, amen. And the reason that I chose that prayer and for us to say it together is because the practice and the process of really understanding what this day means to us is a collaborative effort, and it takes action on the part of each of us. It can't be done only by one person. By one person, even if it's the pastor telling you what is true. A, B, and C are true, and you can sit there and nod and say, that's wonderful. So what? What does it mean to be fully alive in Christ? And we use all of the tools at our disposal to try and give words to it, to describe it, but it can't be described in words. We tried describing it with colors and plants and symbolism, and that's not enough. It's never quite enough. And thankfully, we have our whole lives to be figuring it out, to be expressing it, to be realizing it, to be fully alive in Christ is an understanding that comes from God. It's not us trying to figure it out the way I studied physics, sat at the kitchen table, tried to put my brain onto it, couldn't get it. No matter how much time I spent, no matter how much I concentrated, couldn't get it. Went to the professor, said, I can't do it, sorry. He says, but this is the easy part. I'm like, yeah, then I really can't do it. And that's okay. You can't do everything you put your mind to. But this fullness in Christ is an activity on God's part, on your behalf. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We have been thinking about and studying being created in God's image. That happened in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, created in a moment. But then we have been shaped by Jesus. And this shaping happens continuously, constantly, without interruption. God is working on us, shaping us continuously. No interruption. Even when we are distracted by other things, God is working to shape us, to make us more and more fully alive in Christ. Jesus was raised in a moment. Okay, I'll give you another chance. That's where you say hallelujah or amen or whatever you want to say. Jesus was raised in a moment.
Hallelujah.
Yes. But the realizing of that, the realizing of that impact happens continually, frequently, regularly. Sometimes we break away from it and we don't really realize what that means. Being raised from the dead, what does that mean? And so we need helps. We need to realize together as a community that is gathered here. Okay, first we start off with what is it that we believe that we're supposed to be so happy and excited about today? And in your mind, you're thinking, well, I think I know. If we did that Bible knowledge quiz and I had to write it out, I might get 2 out of 3, right? So we use helps. And one of them is the hymnal of worship book. Turn to number 712. If we are going to truly grasp what it means to be fully alive in Christ, we need to understand the doctrine, the teaching, the theology. And this makes me very excited. Others, not so much. Nonetheless, let's read this together. There's no leader and follower in this, so we will read it all together, not too fast. And we are saying the I, because it is personal. I. Let's go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. We can use these kinds of tools, this hymnal of worship book, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray together, to reaffirm and to recognize what it means to be fully alive in Christ. It's not enough, though. We need more. We need more helps. We need another hymn book. Turn in your purple book, and Marian, if you could make your way to the piano again, please. Number 89. I was happy that it wasn't chosen by any of the other song leaders this morning. And I want us to look, first of all, at the verses part on the right-hand side. Because these are truths, these are facts that we believe. And this is what it means to be fully alive. This is the day of new beginnings, a time to remember and to move on, a time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. For by the life and death of Jesus, love's mighty spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. So let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths, and sure to find that Christ is alive and goes before us. Now, these are some facts that we need to work into that Pascha dough so that it can rise and become wonderful and tasty. Little bits of truth. I invite you to stand up and sing this together. Thank you. Please be seated. This is our testimony, and we need these things. We need the chance to say them and to sing them together with friends, together in the community, so that when we go to our homes, we experience it fully. Christ is alive. And we may be asking, where is there still death in my life? Because the fact is, Christ has made everything alive, but the Spirit and the Spirit's daring will point out those areas in our lives that are still dead or hidden, and God wants to bring them to light and dig things up and create newness of life, fullness of life. It takes a kind of a circle. It takes this theory. You have to have the facts. The truth. Now our society will say, we don't know what the truth is, or that's your truth, this is my truth. You have to have facts. And we've read about some of them, we read about more in the scripture, but that's not enough. The theory, the facts, the theology moves us into action. That's still not enough. The action requires reflection, which we have been doing and really practicing for the last 6 weeks, and I'd invite all of us to do more and more of it throughout the year, always. Reflecting on your action and reflecting on your theory. And as those three continuously go around and around in a circle, that will be the Holy Spirit working and recreating you, reshaping you to become more fully alive in Christ. It won't happen in a day. It won't even happen in 2 days. It takes a lifetime. That's why the book of Acts is so long, because there's so much there, so much practice. After Jesus had risen from the dead and went before the disciples, go ahead, you're going to meet him in Galilee. There's still things to do, work to do, things to realize. You've got to work it out. God is continuously shaping and working you into becoming more fully alive in Christ. Death has been swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
and invite the ushers to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. God, as we prepare to share some of what has been entrusted to us, you know our hearts, you know our concerns, whether having too much or too little. Help us to see past our own needs to the needs of others and give with generous hearts and open hands. Bless all that we collectively give towards the work that we have decided as a church to do, and also bless what we keep. In your name together we pray. Amen.
Your turn to respond again in song. So much singing today. I hope my voice lasts. But anyways, you'll do the singing. And we'd like to sing, actually, is it going down? We'd like to sing In Christ Alone. That's the one that is in the bulletin. I asked Carla to come join me and the rest on the platform here. And I think it's familiar. The number is 332 if you're using Voices Together. Let us stand, please. Now take your hymnal, and we'll sing one that I grew up with, maybe all of you, 273, Low in the Grave He Lay, 273.
Pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Another hymn of Christ, Proclaiming Christ is Risen, 280. Christ the Lord is risen today, probably one of my favorites. There's always an echo with Alleluia. And we'll sing the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3, then the benediction, and we'll close with 4 and 5. So let us stand, please, for song 280.
Thank you.
Please join me in reading the benediction. May the God who shakes heaven and earth, whom death could not contain, who gives to disturb and heal us, bless us with power to go forth and proclaim the gospel.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.